What's that? What's
that? Keep that frequency clear.
Are you ready?
Smack my bitch.
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. Guys, we're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of San Beezy, San Bruno, California. For those who don't know where that is, Jason Lackey, help us out. It's the first city south of South San Francisco and the first city north of the mean streets of Millbrae. Not that anyone cares, but it's also the home of YouTube, for those that care. All right, guys, let's get into it. UFC 212. With me, as always, of course, the yin to my yang, Prados, the lovely Pam, and Marco from Waco. Let's hit their intros, guys. Let's start off with, of course, the lovely lady. The lady who always has Cedric, on her mind. And let's get the story of why she named a parrot Cedric. Hit it!
Hey, everybody. I feel like we just talked yesterday, so it's exciting to get back together with everyone again.
Pammy, you in the cage. What the hell was that? Who was that, Pam?
Dogs barking. Yeah, it's the dogs barking. Yeah, dogs. I have a hound dog, and he's got the loudest bark ever, so I was trying to make sure everybody was quiet, and then, you know. Hey, it's live.
What is the hound dog's name?
It's in the way.
His name is Leonidas.
What is the hound dog's name? Oh, wow. We got to get the story of that, right? All right. let's you guys have, of course, heard the voice of reason. The one and only Prados. Hit it!
Waza! I haven't been called the voice of reason in a while.
I know. I wanted to bring that back. Wasn't that awesome? I was saving this for you though.
Waza!
I'm telling you, that guy at the end sounds like Marco. All right, Marco's music was turned way down. Let's hit it. The star of the show, hit it.
Marco from Waco, dude, and we're back 3 days later. How you doing?
How you doing?
Guys, I don't want to jinx this, but I'm excited about this one too. As of course, Prados doesn't listen to Fighter and the Kid, and neither does the lovely Pam. But as my boy Marco will tell you, Marco, I think we're going to get 30 buys, pay-per-view buys for this one. 30, a whole 30.
They say 27.
Oh, that's right. 27, for those that don't listen to the Fighter and the Kid. All right, guys, let's hit it. UFC 212, Jose Aldo versus Max, the new champion. I mean, Holloway. Boy, this is going to take place in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, where Pammy hails from. Oops, not really. Right, Pammy?
All right.
Pammy, I'm excited about this one. June 3rd, 2017, too. Guys. Right? This is the one, guys, that was supposed to have... What was this originally supposed to be? It was supposed to be another fight, right, on this card. But, guys, Jose Aldo versus Max Holloway, Claudia Gadella versus Carolina Kovalkiewicz, Marco. Proteus's favorite, the man with three haircuts, Vitor Belfort versus Nate, the great Marquardt. Eric Silva. Eric, I don't know what happened to your career. Silva versus Yancy Medeiros. And Rafael Asensal versus Pam's favorite from World Series of Fighting, Marlon Moraes. Guys, here we go. We're going to work our way, Marco, as we always say, from the bottom, work our way to the top.
Hey, before we start, let's agree right now that this car lost the luster when they lost Anderson Silva. Because Anderson Silva was supposed to have fight Kelvin Gastelum, and then
Gastelum
smoked the reefer, got suspended, and well, he's fighting Chris Weidman now, and then Anderson Silva didn't want to take a fight with anybody but Joel Romero for an interim title. And then, of course, they get an interim title to Joel Romero with Robert Whittaker. So, I would have loved to have Anderson on this card, but it is what it is.
Darn, I forgot about that. Proteus, did you know that?
Too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's unfortunate, but I don't know. I don't really miss it, though. Do you really do miss it, Marco? Like, I mean, I'm not a big fan of it. I'm okay with the way it is. No? I know we just started.
Yes.
No.
There is a reason. There is one fight on the main card that we're not analyzing because it does not belong on the main card.
True enough.
And and if Anderson was there, we would be doing a full-blown main card analysis. So let's be fair. It is what it is. Anderson Silva is Anderson Silva, and it would have been a much higher profile fight if Anderson Silva was in this car. As it is, it's a good car, don't get me wrong. But
yeah,
let's
I'm
call
super
it
excited.
Anderson Silva, no fighter on this car, make it a little bit tastier for the casual fan.
Hey guys, let's do the fantasy. Of course, we're not a fantasy fighting champ like a Buffalo Blue, but Let's do this. Just out of, for the sake of, only because Marco brought it up and I completely forgot. Anderson Silva versus Kelvin Gastelum. What would have been your pick? I'm just curious. Let's go ladies first.
You know what? I would say I'm going to go with Anderson only because I'm a big fan of his. Gastelum is just now coming up to 185, so it's still relatively a little bit new to him. Even though Anderson is, as you would say, long in the tooth, he's still someone to be reckoned with. He still has those vicious knees. He doesn't have the speed that he did have, but he still has speed. He still has his jiu-jitsu. So I would have gone with Anderson.
Wow. What say you, Prados?
Yeah, I would have gone with Gastelum second round TKO KO.
Me too. Well, Marco?
Well, I would have gone with Gastelum too because it's not Gastelum first time at 85. He beat Uriah Hall at 185 at the end of the Ultimate Fighter, a long, lanky striker. Then he beat the freaking Brixer of Nate Marquardt that's fighting this weekend, by the way, at 185 also. And then, of course, the no contest with Vitor Belfort that, well, he beat the brakes out of Vitor. The younger, faster, more well-rounded fighter because he's also a wrestler. I would have gone with Kelvin Gastelum. I would have given Anderson Silva the respect of not getting knocked out but losing a unanimous decision.
But we're in Brazil. We're in Brazil. Brazilian judges.
It would have been a wipeout. It would have been, like, no doubt that Kelvin won.
You think? I don't know. I mean, I didn't say he had never. I said he was still pretty new to it. So, who knows? And then what if he wouldn't have made weight again? So, you don't know. I don't know.
Wait a second. Tammy, wait a second.
What if he fought? He can eat as much cheeseburgers as he wants.
Well, I don't know about all
of them. I don't know, man.
Burgers.
Yeah, no.
Tammy, let's have some respect.
Okay.
Let's have some respect for the Hegian that is heel. I got nothing on that one. Proteus, did you know that?
Like,
I got nothing on that one. I bombed on that one. Hang on, I'll give myself one.
I got it. I had to do.
I'll give myself one. Apparently,
only
Chris Cyborg can say, only Chris Cyborg can use his specs. All right, guys, let's hit it. We got a lot to cover in a little bit of time. Here we go. Ooh, someone just sent me a photo. Good Lord. Hold on, Proteus, you're doing it again. This never fails. Every single time I'm on the show, Proteus has to send me a picture, and all of a sudden, all goes to crap. Thank you, Prado. All right, here we go.
Did he send you my Brazilian?
Oh,
yeah.
Good Lord. Yeah, how about that? All right, guys, here we go. And we're going to start off, let's see. You know what, guys? We're always prepared, bro. You know this. We're always prepared. We start off with the lovely Pam. Pam, we're going to go to the Batman Wait We Go. Rafael Asunciao, for those that don't know, versus Marlon Moraes. Pammy, okay. this is gonna. Well, Pammy, are you gonna let me? Gosh, Pammy! Pammy wants to start right away. Pammy, don't let me record scratch you.
Okay.
Screw it. Let's just go, Pammy. Go ahead. I was gonna do my little spiel, but go ahead, Pammy.
No, go ahead. I want to hear your spiel. It gives me motivation.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Let me hit it again. Boy, no editing on this one, Prados. Remember this, no editing, we're one take Jake. All right, here we go, guys. Marlon Moraes, Pammy, he's coming for the World Series of Fighting. Where he was a former Batman Weight champ, how about that? And as of February 2017, believe it or not, he was ranked number 5 in the world. Not by the rankings that count, but by Sherdog. Pammy, he's 18-4-1. It literally hasn't lost since 2011. And he's fighting the one and only Rafael. You like that, pal? Rafael Asunciao. He's lived a little. 34 years young, Pammy. But his only loss, guys, to TJ Dillashaw. He's beating everybody else. Caraway, Sterling. And don't forget, he actually did beat TJ once. Pammy, what say you? Will it be Asunciao or will it be Moraes?
I am going with... Do I get a drum roll? I'm going with Moraes. Because, you know what? This is actually, on paper, this is a really, really good matchup. Rafael is 5'5 with a 66-inch reach. Marlon, 5'6 with a 66-inch reach. Marlon, last 3 wins by TKO. He has 13 straight wins. And he's training with Edson Barboza, which for me is a bonus. Cardio is not going to be a problem for either. Rafael is a black belt in jiu-jitsu, a Marlon brown belt. But, I got to go with Marlon. He's just more exciting, more explosive. I just think it's going to be a great fight to watch. I'm actually going to be greedy. I want it to go the distance, so I am taking a third-round decision. Marlon.
Darn. All 3 rounds for Pammy. We go to you, Pro. Will it be Rafael or Marlon?
Okay, so I've got the odds pulled up really quick, Tony, just to give the odds out for this fight. Asunciao coming at plus 145 and Moraes coming at minus 170. As you had mentioned, Marlon is, a former bantam or fat man weight champ, but in the World Series.
Ouch!
Having said that, he's no joke. I mean, let's be honest. He was making a ton of money in that fight league for a reason. Now, he's going up against Rafael Asunciao, as you had mentioned. Guys, this is another one of those great fights, and this card is just full of absolutely fantastic fights. I mean, other than the fight, as Marco mentioned, that we're not covering on the main card, the main event of the, Fox Sports 1 for you guys, TSN 3 for me, is very, very tight. I think I'm going to take a ride with Marlon on this one, just because I think he's got that I don't know. I just got that feeling about him that he's going to come in and look good in the UFC. So let's go Marlon Moraes by second round KO.
Wow.
Good.
Marco, everyone seems to be going with the newcomer to the UFC. Marco, what say you? Will it be Asunciao or Moraes?
Okay, man. I hate to admit it, but I agree with Tom and Claudius. And I'm going to tell you a lot of caveats. Marlon is a younger, faster fighter. He got a huge win in the street, get outside of the UFC. And when he got controlled by the UFC, he did not lose any income. They actually put him in the roster with the income that he was making and made a little bit more. So that tells you a lot about what they think about this kid. Also, you know, I always complain, people complain, oh, what are you making these champions from organizations fight the best of the freaking division? Here is the proof. You're going to either be the big shot in a small pool or swim in the ocean of the UFC. Perfect fight from Marlon Moraes. If you beat Rafael Sunsao, you're an immediate contender. I still think, though, that Marlon Moraes is a real deal. I still think that Rafael Sunsao has lost a step. It showed on the second TJ Dillashaw fight. TJ Dillashaw cooling and a beating on Rafael Sunsao. Rafael Sunsao is going to give you a spirited fight, but I think Moraes is the more aggressive, hungrier fighter, and I think he's a better striker, too. So I agree with Proteus. I'm not going to call it a straight KO. I'm going to call it a second-round TKO for Marlon Moraes.
Wow. So both Pam, of course, going decision to Moraes. Proteus going second-round TKO. Marco echoing that with a second-round TKO. Guys, I think I'm going to be the lone wolf on this one. I'm going with Rafael Asunciao, and I'll tell you why, guys. I don't think that Marlon Moraes has faced the kind of competition that Rafael Asunciao has. And even when you look at the fact that he's only lost to TJ Dillashaw recently, keep in mind that was a decision. That was the lovely Misha Tate versus the evil one, Amanda Nunes. That's right, Pammy, I said Nunes. but I just don't see that Marlon has that track record. I could be wrong, but traditionally, guys, as well, the newcomers to the UFC, they haven't fared very well. By all accounts, of course, your guy, the other David, what was his name? The Branch.
Branch won,
but yeah, but I'll tell you, I just don't see it, guys. I think it's a little too soon. I do think Marco's right that Asunciao isn't the same fighter that he was before, but I just don't see how it's going to happen. So I'm going to go with, believe it or not, with decision for Rafael Asunciao.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's move up. We go move up to weight and move up to more disappointment, maybe. Marco, we go to the welterweight, we go. Eric the Tiger Silva. Gosh, do you guys remember when he was a hot prospect? Literally? Do you guys remember when he was a star?
Yeah.
What the hell happened to that, guys? So I'm going to give you a few things. Silva, of course, will be going up against, I think, Holloway's training partner, right? Yancy Medeiros? The difference here is, guys, if you look at... and Pammy brought this up. I think Medeiros is going up in weight quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You look at the Tiger's last five, guys. 3-2 in his last five, but keep in mind, make matters worse, guys, he's like 500 in his last 10. Hasn't really looked good. We go up to the one and only Marco. Marco, will it be the Tiger or will it be Nancy? Yancy Medeiros. That was a slip. That was not intended. That was not intended. I actually like Yancy. That was not intended. My bad. Sorry.
Hey, bro. It's going to be Yancy Medeiros. I don't know. I want you to start, but it's okay. Look, Eric Silva, he used to be a hot prospect, but this guy is good for three or four minutes, and then he gets lost. And ever since USADA came in, I don't know if you noticed that his body kind of changed a little.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit softer on the belly, a little bit on the shoulders. The best opportunity for Silva to win is in the first 3 or 4 minutes of the fight. If Medeiros can withstand the storm, then it's his fight to lose. Medeiros is a very talented kid, you know, Hawaiian, a good Hawaiian fighter. You know, he, like all Hawaiian, he can fight on him forever. He's not going to, like, quit. He's not going to, like, give up. He's going to come forward. He's going to try to scrap, scratch. And I think it's going to go as follows. Eric Silva's going to come like a barn burner storm in the first 3 or 4 minutes, and his gas is going to just deplete. He's going to go to hell. And then Medeiros is going to take over. We have not. I gotta give Silva the fact that he's tough as nails. He's a very tough cat. He doesn't get quit on him. I mean, he will take a beating like the with the best of it. You got to outright finish him or submit him. I'm gonna take Medeiros on a 29-28 unanimous decision. Like I said, Silva 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and then he's done. He's done for the rest of the fight. So Medeiros on a unanimous 29-28 decision.
Wow. All right. So Marco, of course, going with the kid, Yancy Medeiros. I did not mean that was literally not intended. So my apologies to the Medeiros family. We go to the one and only Pam. Pammy, will it be the kid or will it be the tiger?
Oh, man. Hang ten, baby. I'm going with Yancy on this one. Eric, you know what? Eric, when he first came, post special vitamin water, he was awesome. The last few fights, I mean, he has losses to Taleb, who just won Sunday, and to Magni. Black belt in judo, jiu-jitsu, is a Muay Thai fighter. But he, again, is one of those words where he has been consistently inconsistent. And, like Marco said, he has changed. I mean, his tattoos are really nice, but his body has really changed a lot. And he seems to, his cardio, I don't know what happened to his cardio. Yancy, on the other hand, he's a stand-up. He's a striker. He loves to fight. Keep in mind, along with Max, he also trains with the Diaz brothers. So, that there's crazy all around. So that's like a triple dose of crazy right there. I actually have Yancy with the second round knockout. He's got, 3 performance of the night, 1 fight of the night. He is going up in weight, but I think he's just solid. He's quicker. I think his instincts are sharper, and like I say, he's a crazy Hawaiian. He's going to fight and fight and fight, and he's not going to stop. So you got the Hawaiian blood and the Diaz brothers mentality. So second round KO for me.
Second round KO for Pammy. Marco also choosing Yancy Medeiros. We go to the one and only Prados. Prados, will it be the kid or the tiger?
Yes, Tony, let me give you the odds on this one. And again, everybody, I'm getting these odds from UFC.ca, just so y'all know where I'm getting the odds from. We've got Eric Silva coming in at a plus 120, and Yancy Medeiros coming back at us at a minus 140. The one thing that does concern me that Marco pointed out, is that Yancy is coming up in weight. From 155. So he's going to be fighting a bigger fighter in Eric Silva probably on the night, because Eric Silva is used to being a welterweight and Yancy Medeiros is not. Having said that, I do believe that Yancy Medeiros is going to be able to weather the storm, so to speak, and as Marco said, the first 3 or 4 minutes, and come away with the win, Tony. I don't know if it's going to be a decision. I don't see that. I'm going with it lasting probably to the third round, where Yancy's going to be having to, weather a couple of storms, maybe, having to get up from the bottom, get up from being taken down,
in the first and second round. Probably come. Yep. Thanks. And probably come out with the win by. Oof, I see a submission for some reason. Third round submission.
Right on.
Wow. Okay. So, boy, everyone going with Yancey. Marco, did you give a method in a round?
Yeah, 29-28 score across the board.
Okay, so decision. Okay.
I want to get the first round to Silva, the last two to Jesse.
And, of course, Proteus going with Proteus, you said second round sub?
Third round, please.
Third round. All right. I'm going with Pammy on this one. I'm going with the second round KO or TKO. Yeah, I'm the one that brought it up because Pam brought it up, the fact that Medeiros is going up in weight, and I think that does pose a problem. I just think that, Silva, I don't know. I mean, Silva's one of those guys, Pam. He reminds me of OSP.
Yes.
I like the talent.
You don't know which one's showing up.
I don't know which one's showing up, and every single time I pick him, it goes wrong. Mm-hmm. So you know what? To my detriment, maybe, Prados, I will... You know, I can't go with him, so I'm going with Medeiros with a second round KO. All right, guys, let's move up.
Can I give you an alternative fact?
Go, please.
I do remember I told you yesterday, and I don't know if Marco and Proteus know this. I was doing some reading, and apparently Yancey in high school weighed 245 pounds, which is why he started fighting to get into shape.
I forgot about that. Yes, you're right. He was a fat kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm wondering if it's not going to be hard for him to... I mean, not that he's gaining 100 pounds, but maybe it's not going to be an issue to fight up. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
Maybe he has a sweet tooth, right?
Alternative facts.
Mm-hmm.
Alternative facts.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Boy, anyway. Alternative facts twice. How do you like that,
yep.
Right? All right, guys, let's move up and remind me not to call him Proteus. You have to remind me to not call him. I mean, he'll kick my ass, so make sure I don't call Yancey Nancy.
Mm-mm. He'll make you a Nancy.
No. That's right. All right, guys. Yeah, there you go. All right, guys, let's all respect, of course, to the kid. Guys, we move up. To the man that has three haircuts in one, Prados, Vitor Belfort, going up against Nate the Great, maybe Nate that once had a great chin, Belfort. Man, what? Talk about fighters that have gone astray. Nate the Great, guys, Nathan Joel Marquardt. And you know what's interesting enough, guys? He was born April 20, 420, nothing. Crickets on that one? All right, guys.
All right.
Nate the Great, guys. He hasn't been... Gosh, you know what? I'm going to say this, and I think Marco's going to agree with me. Maybe you too, Prados. And Pammy, I think you'll for sure agree with me on this. Any single time I start seeing double-digit losses, that means you fought probably one time too many, guys. Nate the Great, 35-17-2. Keep in mind, he lost to Sam Alvey. No shame in that game because Sam Alvey is a good fighter. He's going up against the Phenom. Talk about alternative facts in terms of non-audit supplements or vital water. Vitor, the Phenom Belfort, the toe licker himself or the toe sucker himself. 25-13, guys. Boy, do you guys remember when he was the greatest fighter at one point ever? I mean, man, he was a guy. It's sad to see what he's become, bro. So we go to the one and only Prados, the man that not only has maple syrup, but the odds in his hand. Prados, what say you? Will it be the Phenom or the Great?
Okay, so here are the odds here. And again, these are coming from UFC.ca. We've got Belfort at a minus 160, and the comeback on Marquardt is plus 140. Now, I just want to say this at the start here at the top. My main concern about this fight being not only in Brazil, but apparently not being Vitor Belfort's last fight, but probably his last fight in the UFC, is that he might be already on those Onnit supplements,
Good conspiracy. I like that.
Well, listen, guys.
Conspiracy facts.
If you looked at, well, let's see what his body looks like in the weigh-ins. But we may be able to confirm that when we see his body, if it's transformed again and he looks like fucking He-Man. Sorry, Tony. I am, however, going to take Vitor in this fight. Like you guys said, I don't know where Mark Bart's at. I don't know why he's continuing to take fights at this point in time. Maybe he needs the money. I don't know. But I do believe that we're going to see TRT Vitor again, or at least the start of Vitor in this fight. And I'm going to take Vitor Belfort, the Phenom, in Brazil, his hometown, his home country. They're not going to catch him for any kind of non-Onnit supplements, let's put it that way. And I'm going to take him by first round KO.
Wow.
You know what? I don't disagree. Marco, we go to you, Marco. Marco, will it be your favorite fighter only because he married Joanna Prado, Vitor Triple Hair Belfort, or will it be Nate the Great?
Okay, we got TR Titor and Nate the Great Juicer Marquardt. These two are poster boys for freaking let's call a spade a spade. Also, the freaking
That's
children
true.
Of the Jesus, the children of the Jesus freaks. Which one of these two dudes love Jesus the most? The loser is going to have to renege on Jesus. Because if Titor loves Jesus and Nate Marquardt loves Jesus, if you lose, Jesus doesn't love you that much. So you need to renege and choose another religion. All that said...
Well, I think the people are
Thomas
like...
Thomas Phillips.
Yeah. All that said, man... I disagree with your conspiracy theory a little bit because it's still under USADA and if something would have come out already, they would have, like, stopped the fight. I think this one time, TRT is going to fight, quote-unquote, clean. Yeah, it is his last fight of his contract, and yes, he is probably going to go to Bellator or Ryzen or whatever they let him freaking use to the guilds and go to the freaking seniors tour. A shame, because I really thought he was going to retire, but whatever, Vitor. I still going to pick Vitor Belfort, because I got no confidence of Neymar Korshin, and for whatever it's worth, Vitor still got hand speed, and he still got knockout power in the first round. And I think that blitz of Vitor is going to be too much for Nate Marquardt. He's going to hit the canvas ugly. And Marquardt should actually retire. And Vitor, even though he's not retired, he should retire. But we're going to see here on the senior tour. But yeah, I'm picking Vitor there for first round knocker.
Wow. Everyone's so far choosing Vitor. First round KO. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam. Will it be Joanna Prado's husband or Nate the Great?
Well, you know what? I love that conspiracy theory, though. That was exciting. But you know what? As much as I want to pick Magua, remember when he was sporting that Magua hair? Vitor, and you're talking about double-digit losses, which is both of them double-digit losses. They're virtually identical, but I'm looking at bodies and... Man, this is almost like I want to flip a coin on this one, but Vitor just has not looked the same. And he's coming off three losses, Jacare, Mustafa, and Gastelum. And not just like little bitty losses. He got his ass whooped. His last win was, 2015? Nate the Great, on the other hand, he did win a fight last year in 2016. So, I'm going with Nate only because, Vitor, he's got that great speed. He's boxing, jiu-jitsu, explosive striking. But, you go to, I think it was supposed to be a scrub fight, an easy fight for Vitor, but I'm picking Nate. I think he's just in better shape. He's well-rounded. He's got power. He's got size. Yeah, his chin is questionable, but... Vito's whole everything is questionable at this point, you know. But I'm going to go with Nate. I've got him third round decision, but again, Brazilian judges. But I'm picking Nate third round decision. If it's you know, to me, it's like a whatever. It's, this is like one of those fights where meh, whoever went, that's cool, you know.
Wow, I'm still looking. Hang on, Prado's just sent me a photo of Vitor Belfort's wife.
Oh my God.
All right, let's get back to it. What, did Pam really say that this is going to go a decision for Nate the Great?
No, that's what I said. Yeah, I really said that because it's just, this is almost, you know what, to me, this is almost like a comical fight, so... Why not have a comical prediction? You know what I'm saying?
Wow. All right, Pam. I guess you're... Boy, that one's tough.
Sinner.
Yeah, right?
Gosh. I don't know, Pammy. Really? I don't see yeah. that. All right, guys. I'm just going to play the Iron Man effect for Vitor Belfort when he hits poor Nate the Great on this one. Yeah, it's over, guys. First round KO. Vitor goes out with a splash, probably late-minute injection into the buttocks from his coach. I don't know.
Oh! Oh!
Right, bro?
Oh.
Who the heck knows? Right? All right, guys.
The conspiracy continues.
I, you know what? That's a good one. I never even thought of that one, right? Last minute, what are they going to do? Suspend him? He's leaving anyway.
Right?
That's a good
right?
one, bro.
And that's both of them. What is Nate's contract like?
He's going to fight. Yeah, he's going to fight Chael Sonnen in 2020 at in Ryzen. Right? Are we already looking ahead, guys? All right, guys. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, this is my favorite division. Well, no, it's actually, is it my favorite division, bro? No, it's not, but it's pretty darn close. All right, guys, it's been a long time, right? It should be. It's been a long time since we did this, but because Paul's listening, and of course, it is what it is with KK, Proteus, hit it!
Oh, my God.
Carolina Kovalkiewicz. Oh, man. Carolina Kovalkiewicz. Let's just look at her photos
again
at the face-offs for a second. The Polish princess, and boy, is she a princess. 31 years old, Carolina Kovalkiewicz. The funny thing is they have one thing in common, both of these ladies. They've lost to Joanna Jędrzejczyk. How about that? She's going to fight the one and only Anna Claudina Claudija. I'm going to pronounce it the right way, Pam, because you're from Brazil. Claudia Gadella.
Yes.
Not this Claudia Gadelia. What the hell is that? It's Claudia Gadella. Let's get it right. Right, Pammy?
Right.
Crickets on that one, Pammy? Oh, boy. All right.
No, I got you. You have
Pammy,
to have to
it, right? Will it be Claudia at 14-2? Only losses to Joanna. And honestly, man, she stood in there for all of it. Or will it be the beautiful Carolina Kovalkiewicz?
Let me raise my flag here. You know who I'm going with? I'm going with Claudia. I have to. Carolina, I think she's got versatility. She's a Muay Thai fighter. She does have a 2-inch reach advantage, but also she's
a... She gave me a 2-inch reach advantage.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I'm
she, you know, her, I don't know. Her last big win really was against Rose, and even that was a split decision. You know, that was fight of the night, but that was a split decision. You know, Claudia, on the other hand, she's just more experienced. All her fights have gone the distance since 2012. She's a member of the team that trains Aldo and Barrow. She's a black belt, three-time world championship at a brown belt. I think she's just, you know, height-wise, she's an inch taller, but I think she's just bigger. She's just stronger. She's got great grappling. I'm going with Claudia, and given the history of both of them, it's going to be a decision, five-round decision.
So let's do rounds.
Matos.
Oh, is it?
Well, that's right. It's only three.
Two. I'm sorry. Yeah. Three. That's right. Three.
Call me an event.
Yeah, I'll make, it's going to me. Given the history, it's going decision. Sorry.
Pammy going with,
okay.
Well, you know, heck, we can always use. Right, Pammy? All right, Pammy, we will go to Prados. Prados, Pammy going with a decision, five-round decision in that. She said, you know what? She said, screw the three rounds.
I want it all.
We're going five.
Yes, right.
Right? It's Brazilian rules, and it's my country. We're going five
that's
rounds.
Right.
Screw the alternative facts. So
right.
Pammy thinks that Claudia is going to beat her so much that it's going to count for two extra rounds. So Pammy going
that's
with
right.
Claudia. Prados
actually,
will be the beautiful
round.
KK. Six rounds. That's what I said. Six rounds with KK. That's what I want. All right. Proteus, will it be... Will it be
3 minutes?
The beautiful KK, or will it be Claudia?
So let's just rewind the tape a bit before I get to the odds. I thought you were going to say that they both had in common that we could play Careless Whisper for them, but you went with the loss to JJ. So I guess that's more convenient. But,
sorry,
I mean,
Carlos.
I'm okay with you playing Careless Whisper right now.
All right, let me know when you're ready. I'm queuing it up, bro.
I'm ready. Okay, moving to the women's strawweight bout. Claudia Gadelha versus Carolina Kowalkiewicz. I'm sure I murdered that name. We've got the odds coming from UFC.ca. Claudia Gadelha at a -275, whereas... KK is coming back to us at a +235. Okay, guys, I'm going to have to disagree 100% with what Pam has just said. I believe that KK, being from her background in kickboxing and such, and what we saw her do against the champion, because let's be honest, we probably could have given probably the last two rounds of that fight to KK. But I'm going to take KK. I want to say that she's going to be able to knock her out or something, but I think that Pam might be right with this fight going the distance. And as I said about the main event on this past weekend's card, that we were going to get a five-round great fight. I think that we're going to get a nice three-round great fight here between two of the best women's strawweights in the world. And I hope whomever wins this fight does get a shot at JJ, whether it be KK getting a second shot. But I'm going to take KK with probably split decision. Hopefully we get some good judges in Brazil. So three-round split decision for KK, please.
Wow. All right. Prado's going with KK via decision all three rounds. So apparently... Proteus doesn't need the 2-inch reach advantage. We go to the one and only Marco. Marco, will it be KK or will it be Claudia?
Only 2 inches, man. Disappointing. Oh, my God.
Okay,
so... Ouch.
So... If this was a five-rounder like Pammy wanted, I would go definitely with Kowalkiewicz. But this is a three-rounder, and I think on a three-round fight, Gadelha is a little bit superior than Carolina. Carolina is a better striker. There is no argument about that. But the better grappler by far is Gadelha, and I think she's a stronger fighter. We seen what she did to Joanna in the first two rounds of her match. He utterly dominated Joanna on those first two rounds, and then her gas tank went away. I see this is going to be the same scenario. And the three-rounder, because it's a three-rounder, I favor Claudia Gadelha. She's going to take the first two rounds going away, and then on the third round, her gas tank is going to go away, and Carolina is actually going to look good on that third round. But because of that lack of extra two rounds to do work, speaking of Claudia Gadelha is going to be able to bank two rounds to one, 29-28, and win a unanimous decision.
Wow. You know what? That's actually a great point. If it would have been five, Marco's right. It's a different story, right? Claudia gasses out for the, rather does well in the first two, gasses out for the last three. Carolina Kowalkiewicz, which, by the way, guys, pay attention to this, because there is nothing better than Carolina Kowalkiewicz waiting for her name to be announced. You know how everyone's getting all pumped up and gets, speaking of getting pumped up, good Lord. All right, how everyone gets all, hey, you know, excited. Oops, wrong one. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Marco.
Yeah, for here, everybody's amazing.
That's right.
That's damn Skippy. Hold on, we got to give Marco a rim shot for that. Boy, I can't say anything right. Great, I'm saying
no,
rim shot,
yeah,
two-inch extension, yeah. Six rounds. Good
yeah.
Lord. All right, we can't get it. That's right.
Let me chop
it
off. Stop digging.
But the one thing that's great about her, guys, is how she leans back on the cage, just crosses her legs and just waits for her to be announced and then winks at the camera. Good Lord.
And she always, and she always has a pedicure. I like that.
Yeah, so does Vitor Belfort. But one thing, if you guys don't know, look that up. I know. Thank you, Prados. No one gets that one. But the one thing about it, guys, is I just think Claudia at a new gym, keep in mind she's now with Jackson Wink, just isn't going five rounds. And I hate to say this because this is going to hurt, guys. This is going to hurt more than a Misha Tate loss. But I'm telling you, I think Carolina Kowalkiewicz is finally going to get finished. I think she gets finished in the second round, guys. I'm taking Claudia. I know. I don't want to, bro. I'm taking Claudia in a second round sub, guys.
Alternative facts.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm not mad about that assessment.
Right, yeah.
I'm not mad about that assessment at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough, guys.
This is a good fight. This is a good fight, but both of them amazing fighters. It's a great fight, so you can't be, you know, all you're on if you know your girl loses. It's a great fight.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
For those that don't know what that means, sorry,
cry baby.
Yeah, a cry baby. For those that don't know, I mean, this is one of those fights I don't want to see, like Misha Tate versus Holly Holm. Ain't nobody got time for that. All right, guys, let's go. We go to the main event. We go, guys. The reason why, you know what? This is a fight I don't want to see either, because I like both of these guys, and I don't think this is going to end well for one of the greatest fighters that I've ever seen in my lifetime. Jose Aldo. So let's go. We go to the one in it. Well, actually, let's do this. Max Holloway, guys. Everyone forgets he's only 25 years young, and he is blessed. And he does apparently eat a lot of churros at Disneyland. Holloway's on an incredible run, guys. What is he on? 10-5 win streak. Has beaten everyone that is, or that. You know what? Maybe he's beaten everyone that was everyone. Anthony Pettis, Ricardo Lamas. I mean, not people that are, I don't know. And he's going up against one of the greatest fighters I've ever seen in my lifetime, Marco, Jose Aldo. I mean, this guy, I don't know. This is one of the best, most complete fighters that I've ever seen ever. So we go to the one and only Marco. Marco, will it be the aging Jose Aldo? And I say that, keep in mind, he's only 30, but he's got a lot of fights. And a lot of injuries, or the one and only Max, blessed. Holloway.
You're doing nothing. The ghost of Conor McGregor loomed big on this fight because he beat both of these dudes. Granted, Holloway went the distance with McGregor, and we all know Aldo got his slip in 13 seconds. All that said, McGregor is doing his thing with Mayweather, so let's forget about him for a while, for a minute.
For a long time.
Whatever. I think bless Max Holloway is going to be the new undisputed featherweight champion. Historically speaking, freaking Aldo has always been the guy that is the bigger, rangier guy against his, the opponents, except maybe Kenny Florian and, of course, Conor McGregor. In this case, Max Holloway is the taller, rangier fighter. And I think strike for strike, they're up to par. I don't know, Aldo did really good against Frankie, but Frankie, like, you know, he got his little short T-Rex arms, he couldn't touch Aldo. And he looked okay, he looked good, okay. Everybody was saying, oh, Mastiff will counter-strike him. I don't think he's going to be able to pull the same trick against Holloway. Holloway is very talented. He hit strikes with angles. He remembered a lot of TJ Dillashaw on his style of striking. I don't think this fight is going to go to the ground. And I don't think Aldo's going to be able to style on Holloway. Historically speaking, Aldo has tired out in the later rounds. Later, though, I see he shored that deficiency up. But I still think that Holloway's faster, Holloway's stronger, and got the better cardio, and the confidence level of this kid is off the roof. And that is the one key that is really looming in my back, is that Aldo has had a lot of freaking mental issues with that. We saw how he broke against freaking Conor, and he has a lot of gripes about his position in the UFC, trying to get the rematch with freaking McGregor. He doesn't know if he wants to go to 155 instead of 145. He wants more money. He wants this, he wants that. His head is not on the right space. He should be concentrated on fighting and fighting only, but he's not doing that. He's going to have a good showing, but I think Holloway is going to be able to put the pace, get him against the cage, punish him a lot, and by the fourth round, he's going to connect with something that's going to hurt Aldo, and we're going to get a TKO, and new undisputed featherweight champion, Max Holloway.
Wow. All right, this is getting a little sad, because I think this is going to go all the same way. So Marco, of course, choosing. Marco, did you say a third round TKO? Fourth round TKO for Marco, choosing a new undisputed champion in Max Holloway in a division that we're pretty sure Conor McNuggets will never go back to. Shout out to Conor McGregor. How could you not like that guy? We'll go to a person that does not like that guy. Pammy! Will it be Jose Aldo or Holloway? Hang on. We messed up on that one. Let's go to a person that everyone likes. Well, everyone likes McNuggets, right?
No. Oh, my God. This is another one of those fights where you don't want to pick because you just don't want to pick. I mean, these two, both of them, they're amazing, 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 amazing fighters. Fight of the night, TKO of the night, performance of the night, but both of them. I was listening to what Marco was saying, and I agree, you know, very, very, very good point. But one thing, too, first of all, you know, you've got Jose Aldo, who he's 30, you know, I was thinking that he was older. He just seems older. He's only 30. And Max Holloway's still a baby at 25. That dude, he's still learning. And I'm wondering if he's going to be too emotional and too irrational to go against Jose Aldo. Because Jose Aldo, I mean, McNugget thing, Jose Aldo is king. You know, he's, Marco was saying, you know, he doesn't have his head on. But, you know, he's from the favela. You know, there's just no stopping him right now. One thing that I was looking at is Max Holloway has never gone five rounds. He's gone three rounds. He has not gone five. Seven of his last 10 fights were third round fights, you know, decisions, wins, whatever. Aldo actually has a 1-inch reach advantage. Even though he's shorter, he has a little bit of a reach advantage. He has great ground game. He does have KO power. He's got stamina. His leg kicks are amazing. Muay Thai. I just think he has better technique and he has more experience, and that's not to take away from Holloway. Holloway is amazing. He's very unorthodox, fights a lot on instinct. He does have good cardio. He's striking. But can you get Aldo to the ground? I think not. Aldo's takedown defense is above 90%. I don't want to call it a TKO only because I'm being a baby and I don't want to see either of these guys knocked out. I want to be greedy. I want to see five rounds. I want to see seven rounds. But I want to see five rounds, given the history, again, of both of these guys. Their last fights have gone the distance and have been decision fights. So I'm going to go Aldo with the decision again and still.
Well, Pammy, I think you might be on an island on this one, Prados. I could be wrong, but I'm thinking she's going to be on an island. So Marco, of course, going with a fourth round KO for Holloway. Pammy going with a decision for Aldo and still all five. We go to the one and only Prados. Prados, should I already jot it in for Holloway?
Yeah, you should. Absolutely. But let me give the odds first, Tony, because this is a very, very even fight. We've got Jose Aldo, and again, these odds are coming from the UFC.ca website. Minus 115 for Jose Aldo, and the comeback, of course, on Max Holloway at minus 105. I'm just reading them from left to right. Just listening to what everyone has been saying so far, it came back to me that, you know, we've been seeing this a lot this year, Tony, and this has been coming up a lot on these shows, especially on the pick shows, the Smack My Picks Up shows, that we're really seeing a lot of younger fighters or surging fighters having to prove themselves against, you know, the older fighter or the more established fighter, or in this case, the previous champ. Because I don't really agree with the fact that they just gave Jose Aldo the belt back after Conor just left the division. So that kind of has to have an asterisk beside it in my mind, Tony. Secondly, with another point that Pam brought up about Max Holloway not ever going five rounds, we know that Jose Aldo is not good at going five rounds either, so that I just thought that would have to be said. We've seen Jose Aldo, you know, bring it for three rounds and then mail it in for the next two. Granted, he was winning the fight, but he just sometimes either gasses out or just tends to coast. I don't think he's going to be able to do that against Max Holloway. I really have a feeling if Max can, you know, hold down all of the excitement that I'm seeing coming out of him in the Embedded series so far. He really seems to be, as KK does, seems to be enjoying himself, seems to be enjoying the country of Brazil because it is quite beautiful. If he's able to hold that in and not, succumb to the pressures, I believe Max Holloway is the future of this division. Yes, they both do have a loss to Conor McGuber, but Max's came at a time in his career that was much earlier in his career, and he did give Conor McGregor a good fight. Now, the caveat, I believe, Marco, is that people will say that, you know, Conor McGregor injured himself in that fight and continued to fight. And no one is, worried about Conor McGregor's heart.
He blew his ACL.
Yeah, exactly. He blew his ACL. See, Marco, I knew Marco would have the exact facts, so that's why I asked him. Now, this is a long way of saying that I think Max Holloway is probably going to be able to finish Jose Aldo. I have major concerns about, and Tony, we talked about this last night, I have major concerns about Jose Aldo actually making weight for this fight, because his camp is really speaking about, you know, how he's dialed in. Anyways, just some flags that have come up for me, and hopefully he does make the weight. And we can have a championship fight here. I can see him probably missing weight in order to keep the belt, because that would happen if he didn't make weight. Are you sure? Because champion, they gave him the belt back.
Yeah. If a champion, well, he won the interim belt when he fought Frankie Edgar, and when they make
right.
McGregor Bagley, they talk him into the champ, and then they did an interim with Max Holloway just because, with Anthony Pettis. So this is the interim of the interim. But by rule, when a champion misses weight on a championship fight, he gets stripped. So
okay,
yeah.
You know what? But
Holloway will be eligible to win the belt, but Aldo will not. So it will be a real clusterfuck if he misses weight.
I've seen the Empire bend the rules, and we've seen them bend the rules for themselves in the past. So I wouldn't put it past them. But anyways, having said that, I do believe that Max is going to be able to pull this out. I think it's going to go into the championship rounds, Pam, you know, and maybe Max will be able to show the fact that, you know, he can go that far. I'm going to go with fourth round, probably TKO, Tony.
Wow. Tony is coming up with all these. Wow. All right. Well,
I got my foil hat on tonight, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know where we got on this, guys. Go ahead, Pammy.
I said he's been watching too many X-Files, I think.
Apparently so. How about that? Hold on. Pammy gets a little bit of a rim shot there. Guys, I don't know where we've gotten with on this show, guys. I'm serious. We're talking about pulling out. We're talking rim shots. We're talking, what the hell are we doing, pro?
That's exactly what I did to your mother, buddy.
Right.
We're talking 3-minute rounds. Yeah, 3-minute rounds.
What the hell's going on around here? Guys, I think I already gave my pick ahead of time. There's no doubt about it. I'm a huge Jose Aldo fan. Again, I'll say it, probably one of the best 145ers, maybe one of the best fighters that I've ever seen in his prime. Unfortunately, I don't think it's his prime any longer. You know, he's always been undersized, and people don't talk about that, but he's 5'7", guys, and when he was 5'7", young and fast, it was one thing. But he's had a lot of battles, guys, and a lot of five-round fights. I mean, he's really only been finished, you know, really twice, right? Early in his career, in 2005, via a rear naked choke, Conor McGregor in that, I think, kind of fluky 13-second fight. I'm not saying McGregor wouldn't beat him, but I'm saying I think it was fluky, that knockout. But, guys, he's fighting Max Holloway, and I think it was, you know, I might have been, Marco said this, he's 5'7", guys. He's tall. He's really tall for that featherweight division, unless, of course, you're in the women's featherweight division. Wait, hold on. Proteus, there still is a featherweight division, right?
Wow.
Is there? That I'm not sure there. We'll talk about that, but I'm just going to listen. I don't know how it's going to be done, and I kind of don't want to know, but somehow, guys, I think it is going to be a go to the fourth, but I'm going to surprise you guys, and Marco may feel me on this one. I think it's going to be, you guys are going to think I'm crazy because of Jose's ground game, but he hasn't been on the ground in quite some time, guys. I think Holloway's going to submit him, guys. So I'm going to go with Holloway in, let's just say, third or fourth round. I'll just round it off to be different. I'll go third round, sub. I'm going Holloway, guys, in the submission. And it's going to hurt me to say it because I like both of those guys. But I'm going with Holloway. Nothing?
You're really talking about that lottery ticket there.
Because really submission didn't get there. You on that one.
Yeah.
God. Well,
now we're talking. Now we're talking submissions.
I was talking
submission. Right.
Submission.
That's yeah.
What
are we talking about?
I know.
Right. Ooh,
oh,
look at
Jesus,
that,
man.
Damn, that was good, you guys. For Tammy, did you get that one? We're talking.
What did you
practice?
Say? No.
No. All right.
What are we talking about?
What? All right. I said y'all need
practice. Are we talking about
that's
practice?
Right. That's right.
Look at
those players.
Tammy, we got to get you to the NBA. Yeah, we got to get you. We got to get you into. All right. That's right. All right, guys. We're going to get into this, and we're going to go into the hot take MMA hot takes. Oh, you know what? Pam's right. Hang on, guys. We messed up on one thing. Hold on. This is my bad. All right, guys. We're going to get into this. Ready? We're going to go into predictions, but this is going to be a weird prediction. We're going to go into predictions that one would normally not think would happen. So, we go. I'll give you mine, although I think Proteus has the same one. I think I stole it from. Actually, let's go Proteus first. Proteus, what is your off-kiltered prediction?
Well, I did mention it in my breakdown of the championship fight. I don't know. I do have concerns about Jose Aldo making weight for this fight, or, you know, making the fight in general. I mean, we saw Nurmi, you know, have to drop out of his fight because his liver shut down. You never know what might happen. You know, Henan Murao hit his head on his bathtub. You never know what might happen. So that's my off-the-wall prediction. You guys heard it earlier on, and I'm sticking with that one.
Pammy, what is your off-the-wall prediction?
Oh, see, I don't even know. Y'all are crazy. I was looking forward to the spotlight fight. I don't know.
Right.
I wasn't even thinking about that.
All right, I'll give you one.
I don't even know.
So, Pam.
Give me one. Throw one at me.
Off-kilter prediction will be that Dana White will announce that GDR has been stripped of the title. We go to
that's
Marco.
A good one. That's a good one. Thank you.
All right.
Jessica's cookie, and I like it. Jessica's cookie, I like it, and it's a fun prediction. Someone during the night is going to propose to their gay friend or boyfriend, Jessica. Jessica's just because it's popular right now. Somebody during the night is going to propose in front of everybody.
Good one.
Darn, that's a good one. All right, so I'm going to give you one, guys.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
I'm going to give you one that Vitor Belfort will not go gracefully into the night, guys. I have a feeling that somehow, some way, he's going to give them a half a peace sign to the UFC or to Dana White. So that is my off-kiltered prediction of the night. All right, you know what? We'll do one more, guys, just because Pam's right. We'll do one more. So let's get ready. Get your. We'll go quickly on this, though, guys. Quickly on this because we want to go into MMA hot takes. But let's go into your spotlight fight of the night. I'll go with mine quickly because there's no need for it, and there'll be no careless whisper for this one. But Vivian Paheya versus Jamie Moyle. The reason I'm choosing that is because my wife's family actually knows the Moyle family. So that's my spotlight fight. We go to the one and only Prados. Prados, what is your spotlight fight of the night?
I'm going to go with the Carlos Jr. versus Eric Spicely fight. Spotlight fight of the night for me.
That's shoe face for you, sir. We go to the beautiful Pammy. Pammy, what is your spotlight fight of the night?
Mine is the Paolo Borrachina fight, only because the last time he fought, it was the first round knockout. All eight of his fights have been first round wins, so I'm looking forward to that one.
How about that? Tammy going with Paulo Henrique Costa. We go to the one and only Marco. Marco, what is your spotlight fight of the night?
Can you hear me? I'm going with the Judy Alcantara fight, man. Judy Alcantara versus Kelly. Just because, you know, I always like Judy Alcantara. He's a guy that always brings it, and I think it's going to be an entertaining fight. Brian Kelleher. I don't know who that other guy is, but I like Alcantara on this fight.
Who the hell like is that too. Guy, right? All right. All right, let's go into it, pro. The MMA hot takes, hit it.
Okay, so we're going to go into the MMA hot take for this evening. Of course, we've had a couple of topics kind of carry over, and Tony mentioned the first one that we're going to go into. Let's begin with what's happening with GDR and what you guys are feeling about the whole situation. Will she get stripped? The cyborg situation. I know, Marco, we've kind of touched on it, but let's put a big shiny bow on it now that we've gone a couple of days into this whole situation. Marco.
So, I haven't made my feelings well known about what JD Jermaine de Randam is doing. Dude, it's such a bad look. By her logic, you know, like we always say, if it walks like a dog, talks like a dog, guess what? Jermaine de Randami, you're a dog because you're a dog. I'm not telling you you're afraid, you know, but like you know, like Pam don't like people that run. Well, she's running a marathon away from freaking Cyborg.
Yeah.
Man, I'm upset about what she's doing. First, to find the excuse, oh, my hand hurts, need surgery, whatever. Okay, I understand that. If you got an injury, you got an injury. But now this lame excuse that she's a cheater, by that logic, Alistair Overeem should have never fought for the heavyweight title. Vito Belfort should have never fought ever. Daniel Cormier should tell John Jones to go beat it because he tested positive. That is a bad excuse. If you don't want to fight, relinquish the title, I think, just to make it a point. Because she will release her because she doesn't want to freaking fight. You know, you can't have it your way. Everybody knew when they did the Holy Home and the Randami fight that the next fight was freaking Cyborg. And all of a sudden, she doesn't want to freaking fight the next logical opponent. Take the belt away from her. Let's start from scratch. Unless either Kat Zingano or my girl, Megan Anderson, fight Cyborg for the belt. Let's start the whole scene over again. You know, the Randami is going to be an asterisk on the history of the freaking USC, like the champion that never won. And let it be, man. It's such a bad look. And then I'm not the biggest Cyborg fan, and I've made it very, very clear. But I also know what is fair and what is right and what is not right. And what the Randami is doing is just not right. So, you know, go away, the Randami. You piss me off.
Hey, Proteus, I said I wasn't going to say anything. Sorry, Proteus. I said I wasn't going to say anything. I actually told Proteus to skip me. But I will say this. I would have almost have more respect for GDR if she would have just said, you know what? I'm not going to fight you. I'm afraid of you. Here's a belt. Have at it. Or just, here's a belt. I don't want to be at 145 any longer. But I do think she's afraid. Hell, I'm afraid. So, but anyway, sorry, Proteus. I said I wasn't going to say anything, but... That's some chicken crap there.
No problem. I just wanted to say that Megan Anderson has been booked in another fight in Invicta to defend her title. I just saw it come up on Twitter while we were doing the show. I didn't get to write the details down, but that has been announced. So, exactly. Thank you very much, Tony. Hashtag cue the music. So that fight has been announced. Anderson is not going to be in the UFC, but let's go to Pam for her comment, because we were talking about this on the live show, right? We were talking about this on the Fight Companion show that we did on Sunday. So we've come a couple of days further, Pam. Are you still feeling the same way? I mean, Marco's got some vitriol.
To quote Nate, everyone is on steroids. But so here's something to throw into your conspiracy cap. Okay, she doesn't want to fight because, you know, blah, 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 blah. Okay, Well, maybe the reason she doesn't want to fight is because she doesn't want to get tested because she's on the fucking juice. How about that?
Oof, that's strong. Coming strong with some strong words.
But you know what? I agree. I think if you're not going to fight, and that goes for any other fighter as well, if you don't want to defend that title, strip it. Strip them and give it to some. Let somebody who wants to fight for the title, let them fight. But if you're just going to, well, what is she doing? Using it for a doorstop or something? You know, if you're not going to defend, then vacate. Period.
Yeah. Whole situation, as we mentioned. Go ahead, Marco.
I would have more respect for her if she vacated outright and instead of going to this whole kerfuffle. I first thought in the beginning that she was doing this to leverage more money. And then I was like, oh, got it, girl. But when she started making all this other, like, yeah, you want to stream me or whatever, then I'm like, okay, yeah, you're really running from this guy. You don't want nothing to do with Cyborg. That's just my point.
Again, it's a very valid point.
Just kind of because we're kind of a little bit on the same, but not. What do y'all think about fighters contesting a fight or contesting a decision?
Okay.
Hang on, don't
change the subject yet. Let's finish this subject off, and then you can, because I've got another subject. So write that, Pam. Write that down.
I just did.
We'll get it at the end. Okay. I just want to finish my point on the Jermaine Durandamy. I don't think that the UFC has any. They're not going to continue this division. They didn't want to open it up in the first place. I think the only reason they did a 145 fight was to have Cyborg do it. But again, they stacked all the chips against her, right, Pam? They made her go down to 140 and fight there twice. And then they said, okay, let's do 145. But then she got popped, right? She got popped or whatever, and then she got a retroactive TUI, Marco? Yes, am I saying that right? TUI. Right. TUI. TUI.
Yeah.
Exemption,
TUI,
that's right. Exemption at the end. Sorry, thank you, Marco. So, and I think with the signing of this Megan Anderson fight and the fact that we hadn't seen the UFC sign her, and, you know, Cyborg's contract is coming up, what, Marco, at the end of October, I believe it's at the end of October, her contract is up, so she doesn't have to fulfill the two. Yeah, she doesn't have to fulfill the two fights. Go ahead, Marco.
It is October or two fights, yeah, whatever comes first.
Yeah.
Darn.
So if they hold her out until October, then they don't have to give her a fight. She can move on, and she can get fights elsewhere. So that's what's going on right now. I mean, they've had a really hard time with Cyborg. She should just, you know, move on to either Bellator or Ryzen, where she could make some money, hit that juice, and be, you know, all she can be. And that's my thoughts on that. Look, guys, something else just dropped off Twitterverse, and I'm going to get your opinions on this because this was something also that we talked about a lot on the live show, on the Fight Companion. I just saw coming over Twitter that there's an Instagram video of TJ Dillashaw saying that he's going to be training at King's MMA for his next camp. I'm seeing that the news is, or that it's been reported by Aaron Bronstetter of TSN. I'm not sure if it's related to Elevation Fight Team splitting with Muscle Farm facility and whether sponsorships were affected. So, guys, we talked about this, and thank you, Aaron, for breaking this on Twitter, giving all the full credit to Aaron. This is not my story. I did not break this. This is coming straight off the wire from Aaron Bronstetter of TSN Canada. So let's throw to you first, Marco. What do you think of this news? Because we did talk about this in length as on our conversation on Sunday about the tough fights and then or the tough season, and then we'll go to Pam. So, Marco, you start here, please.
So I think this is all related to the Muscle Farm deal that fell apart. According to TJ Dillashaw, he's still affiliated with the Elevation Fight Team. They're just not working out on the Muscle Farm facilities anymore. But, like we've seen it before, TJ's not afraid of getting new looks.
You know, he followed Dwayne by Logan all the way to Colorado, for crying out loud. And maybe going to, with the guys at Kings MMA, you know, Verdun and Master Cordero, it's a different look for him, and he can absorb new skills. I'm not mad about the idea, man. I mean, he's still essentially is going to be a Dwayne by Logan with guy. I think he's going to start his camp at Kings. He's not going to be 8 weeks in California, man. His house is in Colorado, kind of loud. He's going to start his camp there and then go back to Colorado and finish his camp with Dwayne Bann. What I'm wondering is, like, if he's starting a camp, is there a fight on the horizon? Does he know something that we don't know? Because what are you going to start a camp if you don't have a fight? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
good point.
That Mighty Mouse fight is signing behind the scenes, maybe. Because, like I said before, I don't think Mighty Mouse was making noise about TJ Dillashaw because he didn't want to fight TJ Dillashaw. It's because he wanted more money. And because the UFC really, really, really liked this fight, they probably went behind the freaking doors and said, okay, Mighty Mouse, what is your price? And they started negotiating. They probably met in the middle with a bigger freaking purse for Mighty Mouse. And if that is the case, we might see a freaking fight in Seattle against TJ and DJ, and I am all up for it, bro.
Sam?
I don't see an issue with it. I think I don't see what's wrong with going to a different camp to learn new skills. I think everybody should do that because you don't want to stay stagnant in one movement. And it's just like, okay, say for example, not that I'm a fighter, I'm a dancer, and you go to different workshops to learn different techniques from different dancers so you can apply that in your performance. The same thing with these guys. You know, I think that they should be able, or not be able to, I think that they should go to new camps and experience different types of fighting styles and put it in their repertoire, because then you become predictable. If you are with the same camp over and over, you become predictable. If you go and do these, for lack of a better word, workshops, then you're adding more stuff to your bag of tricks. So unless you're contractually signed to one gym, which I don't even know if that's such a thing, I don't see the big deal about going someplace else and training with different people. I think you would be silly not to, you know?
So, I do.
I'm glad
Tony?
You brought down that point, because TJ was contractually obligated to work with Muscle Farm before, because they
Correct.
Were, mm-hmm. you know, the sponsors. So, yeah, there is such a thing. But now that he's not contractually obligated to be there anymore, he can roam around and go anywhere he wants.
Okay.
So, yeah, that is a good point.
Tony?
The one thing I will say about, you know, training with Rafael Cordero, the one thing that you have to remember is he's also a striking guru also. So it's unusual. But, you know, that's what I always tell my mother. That's what I always tell my wife too, Pam, that I should do training in other places. And she says no.
Mm-hmm.
Crickets? Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, we're talking 3-minute round training.
Oh,
I go 40. I go 40 rounds.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
40 second
round.
Oh. Yeah, that's all I was going to say, but I was going to be nice.
Ouch. Ouch. Darn.
Okay.
Proteus,
okay,
where's the rim shot? Thank you.
Let's get this out of the gutter. Let's get this out of the gutter for a second.
Okay.
Listen, guys. I think that something that was, while you were talking, I wasn't going to add my 2 cents worth in, but something that came to me while you guys were talking was the interview that we heard of Garbrandt on the MMA Fortnight on Tuesday, not Monday this week, because of Memorial Day, correct, down south?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Was that, you know, Garbrandt's pretty injured, and it sounds like he's going to be a while before he can get back. I mean, it sounded like he was, you know, reaching to think that he could get back to health in, you know, by the end of the year. And of course, TJ, you know, searching for that fight, which he did mention he wanted about, what, 2 years ago, Marco, I believe, that these guys were talking about getting paid $2 million, and we did mention this on the show before, that that would be the only reason that they should do that. And I think that you're right. I think going to, Tony, I think you're right, that if he's going to Kings and he's going to train under Master Rafael, that maybe he, TJ believes and that he has gotten to a level where he can take in that high-level mastery training that Master Cordero will provide for him at Kings. It's a very good point. And, of course, if he's got that extra time with Garbrandt being off, I mean, like you said, Pam, why not add to your skills? All very good points, guys. Okay, that is it for me, Tony. I'm going to throw it back to you. What do you got?
All right, guys, let's get out of here, guys. Anything that anyone want to bring up quickly, guys? Anything? No.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Pam had something. Pam had something for Hot
Topic. Oh, yeah.
Sorry,
Pammy.
Yeah, I just had, like, a quick what y'all's opinion was on the fighters contesting the decision of a fight. You know, for example, Holm was going to contest the what's-your-face fight.
Yeah. A random fight, yeah.
Yeah,
Dustin Dustin Poirier. Yeah, sorry, Dustin Poirier was gonna. They were talking about contesting that fight, and then the Weidman fight. They were gonna contest that fight too. What do you think about that,
Marco? Okay, let's start with you.
Historically speaking, the odds are against you. That usually they don't know about anything. The only case that I've seen in recent history is when Tammy Avenger contested the decision when she fought the other the referee intervened, and they actually overturned the decision, and they made it a no contest, and Tammy Avenger was able to keep her belt in big time. But 99% of the time, more often than not, is whatever the result is, or whatever the decision of the referee is, or whatever the result of the judges is going to stand. You have to have a very clear-cut case, something that is so egregious that the commission got no option but to overturn it. Tania Avenger got that. Everybody else, you know, you need to get yourself somebody that either is either a really good lawyer or you have to have such a case that nobody can dispute the fact that unreliable wrong was done to you.
Unreliable.
Let me ask you another question.
Let's get everybody to weigh in first quickly, because we're running out of time quickly. You've got one question that you wanted to ask. Wait for the spinoff, because I've got some definitely good thoughts on this particular question that you asked. But Tony, let's throw to you before we throw to another question.
Yeah, I think Pammy's right. I think the one thing is, I think in most cases it's only because, and I don't want to say Herb Dean, but because someone has made an error, an egregious error somehow, some way. But, you know, if the Kunitskaya turnover, that was really unusual. So Marco's right about that one. But, yeah, I think more should be overturned, and I think we should, Pammy, have some sort of instant replay. I just don't think it's going to happen, guys.
And quickly, before we move on to your next question, Pam, some of the thoughts that came to me while you were saying this or while we were discussing it is that, yes, it is very, very good for fighters not only to contest, you know, finishes that, for example, like that the Alves fight that you mentioned, or the Alvarez fight, sorry, my bad, that's a very good fight to start with, you know, for Dustin Poirier. I mean, I hope, like, as I said on the show, I hope he wins it. And I think, Pam, this conversation has spurred this in my mind. I think it's very, very good for the fighters to show in this, because we still have this class action lawsuit that's going on. So I think that all of these contesting the decision or trying to get things overturned, or just, you know, kind of showing how things are so rigged against the fighters can really, really help that case. I don't know why I'm going here and why I'm going into these weird conspiracy things today, but I think that's a good point. I think that, you know, the more the fighters start doing this, because we hadn't seen this, I guess, especially under the Fertitta reign. We had never seen fighters speaking up this much. We'd never seen, you know, fights trying to be contested as much as we are seeing pretty much this year. And I think that's a very interesting point. Pam, what was the second question you wanted to ask, the spinoff question?
Well, it was kind of just like a second part to the first question. If the fight is overturned, and you know, I know a win is a win, but is it really a victorious win? Do you know what I mean?
Well, let me just touch on that real quick before, Marco, before you go. One point that I want to say is that it's very, very important for the fighters, because if they get it overturned, like Dustin Poirier, not only does he get his show, but he gets his win. Marco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more often than not, it's not going to turn into a win. It's going to turn into a no contest. And that means,
right,
that contractually speaking, they're not entitled to a win bonus. You're just entitled,
yep,
to a show. But a real quick topic for you guys. You know, GSP came on the fortnight and on a press conference in Canada saying that he got this eye injury. But I don't want to speculate,
yep,
about the eye injury. Okay, he got it. You know, that's why he didn't want to fight in July and he said in October. But a little question for George St. Pierre. You got an eye injury. I understand you want to get well. And good for you, George. But have you seen Michael Bisping's left eye lately? I'm just saying.
Ouch.
Michael Bisping has left eye for the last freaking 3 years, and he's not complaining about it. I'm just saying.
Maybe it's pink eye.
Pink eye.
Goodness gracious. Yeah, very good point, Marco. I thought about the same thing when they came out, but I mean, I believe the story that he's passing out, that, you know, his PR company didn't want him to say anything. I mean, it's a very difficult situation for GSP coming back. You know, whether he's going to win or lose, and he says he's going to retire for sure if he loses. So I don't know, Tony, if you want to continue this conversation, because I know we're running out of time. So I'm going to throw it back to you to host the rest of the end of the show.
You got it, guys. All right, let's get out of here. And obviously, Proteus, are you doing a show tomorrow?
Yes, I have Dean from Georgia coming on tomorrow. He's going to give us some recounting and catching up on the Junkie Gathering, and maybe we'll get into some topics that we've talked about today in this Hot Topics section. So, yeah, Proteus in primetime, 9 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow night, Thursday night.
The Dean of Mink himself, Dean from Georgia.
That's right. Man, the myth, the legend.
So before we have Marco close it, let's get into this, guys. Your Twitter follow of the week. I'm gonna go with, only because Marco brought it up, Megan_MMA. Good Lord, Proteus. All right, so that's mine. Megan_MMA. Feel for her, because obviously she's not going to be in the UFC anytime soon. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pammy.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think of one. I was so, you know what? Follow Marlon Moraes. I like him. I dig him. I see good things coming for him. Follow him. And
your fellow countrymen. Marlon.
That's
Moraes.
Right.
Prados.
Boom. Yes, sir. I've got MMA at MMA Junkie John. He is on the ground in Brazil, our man on the street, so to speak. Follow him for all of the Brahma drinking news that you need from Brazil. At MMA Junkie John.
Marco, close it up.
Okay, not those shits. Follow Tony, DJ Tony. Follow Proteus, at Proteus. Follow me, at Maldo Marco. Follow Panas Pandora Box. Follow the podcast at Another MMA Cast. Follow us in iTunes. Rate and review us. Give us good reviews, punks. This show is possible because of you. And follow also at MMA Junkie, MMA George, and at The Ghost. We're going to meet you guys. Catch you guys next week.
I like that. Wow.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Bye-bye.